The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 18. Chapter 1, verse 12 through 18. Allow me to read. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole palace garden to everyone else, and that most of the brothers and sisters trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. And I will rejoice. Amen. It is said that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. If a question is asked, what do you think is the best artwork in the world? People will each give a different answer. The reason is that the eyes that regard beauty are all different. And to the question, what do you think is the best among all Korean novels? Different answers will be given as well. This is also because the perspective and preference about novels are all different. Moreover, to questions such as, who do you think is the best looking among the men and women entertainers? Who is your ideal type of a spouse? What are 10 things that you really need to live in this world? People all give different answers because their perspectives with respect to these questions are all different. Us Christians also live with each of our values in this world. No matter what kind of values these are, if these have not been examined in the light of God's words and perspective of eternity, we could get into trouble. Today's text explains well what kind of perspective we must live with. Verse 12 testifies as follows, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." As we examined last week, it appears as if nothing is going right in Paul's life on the surface. The woolen yarn called Paul's life has become so twisted that it looks like he's a total failure from the perspective of the world. But Apostle Paul says that the things that are happening to him actually serve to advance the gospel. This is not said reluctantly or is said implying that he trusts God will make it so in the future. It means that things are already turning out like that. The word prokope in Greek, which was translated into advance, is made up of the preposition pro and the verb kopto, which means to cut or break. This means to go forward to be more perfect. And it is sometimes translated as success or complete healing, and it was also used in military. At the time, Rome was the most mighty nation in the world. Rome's most important weapon was the chariot pulled by horses. In order for Rome's chariot to advance, the roads had to be made. If Roman chariots advanced on these roads, the places all become Rome's territory. There was no army that could stand in the way of the Roman chariots. The greatest contribution that Rome made in world history was the skills to make road. So there is the saying that all roads lead to Rome. So long as you traveled on a paved road, you could go to Rome. Procope indicates the engineer course paving the road. The people of Philippi thought that because Paul was imprisoned, the spreading of gospel was being restricted. However, Apostle Paul said, it is the opposite, and it sincerely entreats that he wishes the people of Philippi church would know this. Verse 13 testifies in detail how the gospel was being advanced. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Apostle Paul says that because he is in chains, the gospel has become clear throughout the whole palace guard. Ephesians testifies as follows. In chapter 6, verse 20, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. What held Apostle Paul were chains. At the time in Rome, important prisoner was guarded by a team of four people. A chain was put on the left arm of the prisoner, and the other end was chained to the right arm of a soldier. And the right arm of the prisoner was chained to the left arm of another soldier, thereby preventing the prisoner from escaping. And the other two soldiers kept guard before the prison cell. They served in four watches. So therefore, every day, 16 soldiers saw Paul. The people who made up the palace guards were different from regular soldiers. At the time, the population of Rome was about 1 million. Among them, the people who made up the palace guards were about 13 to 14 thousand. Because they were people who were to guard the Roman emperor, unlike the regular military, made up of Roman and non-Roman citizens, it was made up solely with Roman citizens, and they received the best treatment and were very proud. The reason that the gospel reached the palace like this was only because Apostle Paul was put there as a criminal. I will recite verse 13 again. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Apostle Paul could have said, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains. But it says, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains in Christ. In short, it means that the soldiers of the palace guard, their families, and those on the outside have come to know that Paul is in chains, not because he has committed any crime, but because of Christ. The Jews of Lystra stoned Paul and threw out his body outside the city, thinking he was dead. But Paul was the kind of person who went right back into Lystra when he revived before disciples. Since he was like this, how passionately he must have tried to spread the gospel to soldiers who were chained to him. The soldiers of the palace must have come to know that Paul was not an ordinary criminal, but that he became a criminal voluntarily because of Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. Therefore, the soldiers of the palace guard came to accept the gospel. This was something that could never be done outside the palace of Rome. The soldiers who heard the gospel from Paul would have talked about Paul and what Paul had said to their families. This became an occasion by which these people came to listen to the gospel. It is the fearful and wonderful providence of God. It was not only within the palace of Rome that the gospel came to be spread with an amazing speed because of Apostle Paul's imprisonment. The same thing happened outside of the palace, as testified in verse 14. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Most of the brothers and sisters mean the Christians in Rome. They were still weak and could not witness about how they had become Christians. At our church, we do not use a video screen, but in most churches show Bible verses and hymns on a screen. And it is possible to worship without having to bring a Bible or a hymnal. When visual aids were not so developed, everybody carried around the Bible and the hymnal. But there were new believers who came to church because of their wives and children and were embarrassed about having to carry around the Bible and the hymnal. So there were some that wrapped the Bible and the hymnal in newspapers to make them look like something else. It seems that there were a large number of people like that in Rome. They did not know in detail what it meant to believe in Jesus. But they say how God used Apostle Paul and worked through him. They probably saw how Apostle Paul talked about Jesus Christ in sincerity, sometimes quietly, other times in a loud voice. This was evangelizing in public in front of people. Through this, it was possible to learn what it was to believe in Jesus and how one was to live for Christ. A long time ago, I saw a comic made up of four cuts about types of meal prayers in a Christian daily. The first cut was about the faithful type. Before the food, eyes were closed, two hands were gathered, and a devoted prayer was given. The second was the headache type. Afraid of being seen by someone while praying for the meal, it was a gesture of praying with putting a hand on the forehead. The third was the lightning type, where a head was bowed before the food and the spoon being raised up to the lip as soon as the head showed up. This is probably the most typical of Christian meal prayers. I can't remember seeing Christians who pray for more than 5 seconds for a meal. The last was the brazen face type. The comic showed a picture of a person stuffing his mouth without praying, thinking, "Who cares if somebody sees me?" Of course, there was the seeing blind type, where a person sits rigidly for a few seconds before eating. The person who drew this comic probably did so not to emphasize the first type of persons, but to satirize the rest of the types of persons. But the reason that people who do not give meal prayer like the faithful type is not because they don't want to, but because they're still weak and lack the confidence to do so. So verse 14 tells us that the Roman Christians who were still weak in their faith, upon seeing Apostle Paul's imprisonment and the trial process, threw away the newspaper that had wrapped their Bibles, and the headache, lightning, seeing blind, and even brazen face types of Christians had become faithful types of Christians who thank the Lord who gives grace and peace before a bowl of food and committed to become the glory and praise of God. They saw a good model from Apostle Paul. In good churches, a pastor serves as a good model for the congregation, and the members of the church each serve as good models for others. A lot of people saw Apostle Paul and committed to live as Christians and changed their lives. But there were those who became jealous of this. Verse 15 testifies as follows. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The Bible does not talk about how the Roman church became formed. It appears that there was not only one church, but many family churches. Among them, there were those who supported Paul's work and those who supported Peter or other apostles. If the Roman church started with Peter, as it is said in Catholic Church, then it was probably all the more so. The thing that proved to be a lifelong obstacle for Apostle Paul was that he was not with the Lord during his public life. Therefore, Christians who were against him said that he was not a real apostle. They argued that in order to be an apostle, it was necessary to spend 3 years with Jesus so as to truly understand his teachings. But Paul, let alone 3 years, had not spent even 3 days with the Lord. How could he be an apostle? But these people did not know the true side to Apostle Paul. The resurrected Lord had met Apostle Paul personally. The Lord said he was the chosen vessel and would use him as an apostle for the Gentiles. And after Paul met the Lord, he spent 3 years in the wilderness of Arabia and Damascus hearing and learning about the gospel. Therefore, in Galatians, Paul says about the gospel that I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. The Lord has tutored him privately during the 3 years. People did not know this, and they did not want to acknowledge it. Therefore, they thought that while Paul was imprisoned, they made more efforts in spreading the gospel, and others saw that their church grew and matured. It would naturally show that Apostle Paul was a fake apostle. They were diligent in spreading the gospel for this reason. Verse 16 testifies as follows. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The latter points to those who preached Christ out of goodwill. These people saw how Paul defended the gospel at court and understood why God had not sent Paul to Spain, the place he really wanted to go, but had him stand trial at Roman court. They made it the turning point in their lives. Verse 17 continues to witness the gospel as follows. The former preached Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. These are the people who preached gospel out of jealous and disputes. It appears that they were leaders or people who held similar position in Roman church. They probably monopolized everyone's respect and compliments before Paul arrived at Rome. But after Paul arrived and people focused their attention on Apostle Paul, they tried everything to prove that Paul was wrong. There's a movie titled Amadeus. In the movie, Salieri is the imperial musician of the Austrian Emperor Joseph II. Since childhood, Salieri had vowed to live a life devoted to glorifying God, who gave him his musical talent. He finally became the imperial musician, and so he thought his prayers had been answered. When he was 25 years old, however, after listening to the shallow-looking boy named Mozart's musical performance, he learned that God had given the talents yet for so long sought to another person. With the arrival of Mozart, Salieri's music became to appear funny as a child's play. One could not but marvel at the genius of Mozart upon seeing his music sheets. Salieri's prayer turned to a grievance, from grievance to resentment, and from resentment to anger. Finally, he took down the cross hanging in his study and threw it into the burning fire of his fireplace. He then began to plot the murder of his rival Mozart. By cleverly using Mozart's difficult situation and Mozart's personal nature, he causes Mozart to die of overwork while composing the Requiem, having turned away from God, and after succeeding in causing the death of a fellow musician, he loses himself and ends up meeting a tragic death in a mental hospital. People who spread the gospel on the opposite side of Apostle Paul, like Salieri, in their view, probably worked hard in Rome. They likely realized that their status was threatened by Apostle Paul's preaching of the gospel, even though Paul had come as a prisoner. That is why, in order to prove that they were right, so fiercely preached the gospel as if in competition with Apostle Paul. Upon witnessing this, Paul responded by testifying as follows in verse 18. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Apostle Paul did not focus on his own work, but instead maintained his focus on Christ. Also, his goal was not to raise his own pride, but to raise God high. That is why it was his joy to learn of the spreading of the word of Jesus Christ. While Paul was imprisoned, there were two groups of people who were spreading the gospel. They were the same in the sense that both groups were spreading the word of Christ. However, they were different in heart. Paul stated that by whatever method he was happy that the word of Christ was being spread. This does not mean that we may adopt whatever method. Unless we stand firm, we may fall at the end. in front of God. After the end of the Sermon at the Mount, Jesus said the following as testified in Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform any miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. In today's world, the pastor is the one who assumes the role of a prophet. Does not the performing of powers such as driving out evil spirits or curing people of an incurable illness seem great? If I were able to deliver a sermon 100 times better than now, drive out evil spirits just by looking at a person, cure illnesses such as stomach ailment, headache, just by having people see my face through a video monitor from the education hall or another building without even coming into the main chapel, or if I could cure people suffering from paralysis or cancer just by praying for them, how impressed would people be? But Jesus instead of turned to such people and asked them who they were, and said in anger, you who perform illegal acts. This was because, although they were God's people in appearance, internally they were full of self-ambition and pride. Apostle Paul, who knew that one's heart was more important than appearance, confessed as follows in Corinthians 9:26-27. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Apostle Paul was not satisfied by being God's worker and an evangelist. In order not to be determined by God to be fine on the outside, but empty in the outside like an empty head of grain, he said he would strike blows to his body to make it his slave. This meant, in the language of fighters of the times, to hit below the eye. In boxing, there is a saying that one becomes stronger the more one receives blows to the abdomen, whereas one gets weaker by being hit on the chin. A boxer builds strength by receiving blows to the abdomen during training, but no one trains by receiving blows to the head to make it stronger. That is why in amateur competition, boxers are required to wear headgear. Apostle Paul testified that when he later stands before God, he would like to hear, Paul, I know you very well. You are a man who lived by my words. Come to me. Today is the fourth week of Lent, a time to think of Christ's suffering and wait for the resurrection. What is our true reality? Don't we appear to be fine Christians on the outside? But inside, we are filled with ambition and greed, a self-worshipper who likes to show off. At this time of Lent, a time of repentance, if we throw away our human perspective and adopt God's perspective, even if we feel as we are imprisoned in our own life, as if tied up by a chain of small and big events, we will find God who is paving a road of faith for us. And no matter how high the waves are in our lives, by being in the everlasting boat of Jesus, which such waves cannot threaten, we will, with the passing of time, become better Christians. Thus, as Christ's suffering led to resurrection, so will the suffering in our lives lead to everlasting life. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for teaching us how to appreciate the events of our life. We confess that until now, the beginning of our attention has always been ourselves. That is why I was either filled with conceit or disappointment, even over minor matters. Give us the faith which will allow us to see ourselves and the events that happen to us from perspective of God, so that we do not fall as a result of such events, but are able to understand why God put us in such situation. For we are to realize from such event and learn how we must change. As we do not have the ability to see things from God's perspective, allow us, through your words, to learn God's perspective, and thereby allow us to accurately understand what God finds pleasing or displeasing, so that we will also learn to like what God likes and give up what God dislikes, even if it appears attractive to us. Create the spirit within us as it was meant to be, and make new our truthful spirit, so that our lives and our dedication, passion, motive, and course toward God is pure. Also, allow us to distinguish our desire to be raised high from our desire to raise God up high, so that making God noble and high. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.